I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to a very familiar passage of Scripture, Luke, the 16th chapter. We're going to look at saving faith this morning, saving faith. This is my story. This is my song. And Brother Ralph, I don't know what you weigh, buddy, but you're worth 10 times that in gold to me and to this church. What a blessing you are. I told Brother Ralph I unintentionally zipped through the congregational, my fault. But then his testimony was absolutely perfect. You look around this church this morning, and I don't know how many people are here, but we're not here by accident. We're here in a perfect assembly that God has ordained before the beginning of time. Amen? And there's everybody here that can answer this question in one of two ways. What is your relationship to God? Do you know that you have eternal peace, that you have a relationship with God that lines up with His Word, so that if something tragic happened today, tomorrow, suddenly and unexpectedly, you know with absolute confidence that you would leave this earth and you would enter into the presence of God? Well, in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, Jesus Himself gives us the parable here, and I believe it was a real story of two men who left this world. I don't know that it was at the same day, but when they left this world, they went into eternity in two completely different situations. So I would ask, if you would, will you stand this morning as we read just a couple of verses in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter. And of course, these are the words of Jesus. We need to understand the setting that they were given. Of course, they're recorded by Luke. He was a Gentile. He was a doctor. They were recorded from firsthand accounts, so he would have learned this from the disciples and people that were there. But the words were spoken, it says in verse 14, to Pharisees, those who were covetous, those who heard all these things, and they derided him. So Jesus gave this message. It's part of a long dissertation that's recorded here in the book of Luke, but it was incredibly important, and it gives us one of the greatest insights into what life is like in eternity, right? We think about the Word of God, and you think about the authority of Jesus. You think about Lazarus, who went to the grave, and Jesus resurrected him. You think about John and Paul. These men entered into, you know, an eternal love. They got a glimpse of eternity that most of us will never see. And I think these words this morning are incredibly powerful, and they're incredibly important. So beginning at the 19th verse, we're going to read through the end of the chapter. Jesus said these words to this congregation that was around him, but specifically to these Pharisees. He said, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." In verse 24, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." In verse 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to thee cannot, to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. In verse 31, And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You might be seated, and if you'll pray with me this morning. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be here in the pulpit of Bible Way Baptist Church. God, I thank you for your word, Lord, which shows us eternal truth and Lord, just gives us the comfort and peace of knowing, Lord, with absolute certainty how we stand with God. And God, I pray that you'll just touch in this congregation this morning, touch in the ministry that goes forward here, Lord, as the message is recorded, as it goes out for others to see, Lord, who aren't a part of this service, that, Lord, you will just saturate this building, this people, Lord, that you'll just touch in the heart of people, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will just have free reign here. We'll have liberty, Lord, as we bring your thought to this congregation this morning. And God, of course, the most important thing is if there are people here this morning that are just struggling with their eternal condition, Lord, they just don't know that they're saved, Lord, that they just never really have had that assurance, that you'll speak to them, Lord, through your word and through the Holy Spirit. And God, help us to understand what Jesus taught some 2,000 years ago and apply it to our lives today. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. So I want us to look this morning at saving faith. And I want us to think about how these words were directed and the two men that were involved here. You think about the glimpse that Jesus gave us to look into heaven. And he gave us, Brother Lilly, the idea, the concept, the reality, the truth, that when we leave this world behind, there are only two possible destinations. Now, we know that heaven itself is where God lives, and it's a beautiful place. It's a place without sin. It's a place in perfection. There's nothing dirty. There's nothing unrighteous. There's nothing unsavory that's there. And this is the place that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit and those that go to meet him in faith go to dwell. But unfortunately, if you're sinful, if you die in disregard and denial of what God's done for you, if you reject the gift that God has given to you, the only other option is that God has to take those people and place them in this place that the rich man went to. The two choices that faced the rich man and Lazarus in their day some 2,000 years ago are the same two choices that we have today. We either believe or we deny. Now, if we begin to look at all of the Word and of God and all of its complexity and all of its wondrous breadth and depth that God has given us, we can look at the Scriptures and we begin to search and look at things. And if we're not careful, we will make things that God intended to be so simple to us, so complicated, that we allow Satan to really enter in and kind of get in our way. Brother Ralph, I appreciate what you said, that the testimony of God calling you and you feeling that conviction and you running from that relationship that God wanted to have with you. I can testify to that, Brother Ralph, that when I was 16, 17 years old, I had the same type of situation. God was working with my heart. And I saw to it that my family was active in church at for that small window. And Brother Ralph, I would see to it that I came to church after the service had started, and I can tell you many, many times I would sit in the hallway just outside the doors and not enter into the auditorium. I could hear the preaching. I could hear the singing. It was on the other side of the wall. But Brother Ralph, I was running from what God had called me to, which was a personal relationship with him. Those two choices, Brother Ralph, that we had, that these men had, are the same ones that face you today. Both of these men lived. They lived in close proximity to each other, side by side, as it were. They both had the same spiritual opportunity, and yet we see they're in circumstances, and the circumstances they're in today were completely different. I want you to think about the diversity of these men, the beggar. The Bible tells us that he lived in extreme poverty. Now, I know that many here, you know, we've had exposure to poverty. We don't have enough and maybe some have a little more. But this man lived in a circumstance that most of us couldn't even begin to imagine today. He was totally dependent upon the scraps that were offered to him from someone else's table. He was a social outcast. He was physically weakened, as it were, to the point where his comfort here on earth came from the dogs licking his sores and what have you. But the Bible tells us that he believed God. Amen? That he believed God and took him at his word. What was it that carried him into this place of paradise? It was his faith, not in who he was as a person or that he had some deserving characteristics, but he believed what God had taught them all through the Old Testament, that there was a blood sacrifice that could be made for them. There was atonement for sins, the repentance of sins, and the beggar embraced that, and he applied that to his life. Now, I want you to contrast that to the rich man. And by the way, this man didn't go to hell. He wasn't in this place of torment because he was wealthy. Now, I was thinking about this as I prepared for this message over the last few weeks. Brother Jack used to always say, if you all remember this, that we're not near as spiritual as we let on. You all remember that? He would say that every once in a while. Brother Jack was right. And he was right 2,000 years ago, and he's still right today. Most of us, myself included, we're not nearly as spiritual as we'd like for people to see us. And this rich man, he may have been a great churchgoer. He may have donated enough building that, you know, there was a wing put on to the synagogue, and he had his name on a plaque on the side. There's nothing that says that this rich man was a mean person, that he was a persecutor or those type things. But he was the opposite of the beggar in every way, including his faith. Amen? And the reason that this rich man went to this place of torment is because he had rejected the gospel message, the message of salvation that was prepared in that day. Folks, I'm telling you today that my first question to you this morning would be, what is your personal relationship with God? You ought to be able to go back to a place where God came into your heart, came into your life, encouraged you and filled you with the Holy Spirit. You saw a place where you recognized that you were a sinner in need of salvation. Amen? Super, super simple. The beggar Lazarus recognized that. The rich man rejected that in his day up until the point where there was no more opportunity for choice. People ask me sometimes, they say, Brother Steve, you know, do you think it's possible for someone to, and you usually get this in a hospital room, what have you, do you think it's possible for someone to live a terrible life and to be a rejecter of God, and then at the last minute, you know, they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you, I believe that's true. And the greatest example of that, Brother Ralph, is the dying thief upon the cross. The Bible tells us that Jesus hung between two men that deserved to be there when he did not. One of them completely rejected him. One of them called upon him. And what did Jesus tell him? Today you shall be with me in this place of paradise. Paraphrasing. Folks, I'm going to tell you that our eternal condition is settled here upon earth. The choices that God gives us to serve him, to be a part of his ministry, to witness to others, those choices are eliminated when we leave this earth. We go on to a place where God has, where God will give us according to our will here upon this earth. I was thinking about the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter, and the Bible tells us that God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. It goes on and talks about reaping to the flesh and reaping spiritual blessings, and this rich man completely, as it were, rejected the spiritual side of life. The Bible gives us an account here about how the fact that they both died. And by the way, if you look into it, in verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." The rich man, the beggar probably wasn't even offered a civil burial. He was probably taken out. His body was cast into just a place where trash was burned and that type of thing. The rich man, when he was when he died, he was buried. And I'm sure there was probably a lavish funeral that was conducted for him, and you know, there was a lot of acknowledgments and a lot of praise that was offered. And again, perhaps he gave this and he did this, and look at what he did, and look at what a great guy he was, and he took care of his family and all those type things. But it really didn't matter. You can be incredibly prosperous here on this earth and have nothing waiting for you in heaven. Amen. And you can be, you know, the poorest of the poor, the most impoverished, and go on to a mansion in heaven and great praise from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take you back, and you all forgive me if I do a little time travel, but I hope that you all, many of you, would remember the name of Polly Ketron. And little Polly was a lady that she didn't have much, Brother Gary, but, you know, she worried about the church. She wanted the church to have things. I remember one Christmas that she called me and said, Brother Steve, I want to give a Christmas tree to the church. And she called me, and I went up there at night and took an axe, and I thought it was, you know, like a regular Christmas tree. And it was kind of a Charlie Brown type Christmas tree. Now, I cut that thing down, I brought it, and Brother Jack was really good, and we decorated it up the best we could. It wasn't that it was the idea of this great massive tree and this great massive gift, but Polly didn't have a lot. But she wanted to look after the church. She wanted to do something for Jesus. Amen? And I think about how we can have so little here on earth and have so much that waits for us in heaven. The truth of the matter is, everything that we have down here really, including our righteousness, is as filthy rags before God. What we have, what we ought to look for, is on the other side. Well, both these men, they received, you know, the end of their natural life, which each one of us will face, and they went on to two very different circumstances. In verse 23, it tells us that the rich man, he lifted up his eyes, and he was in torment, and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I think it's amazing that as we read through this context, we see that really most of the interaction is this man, the rich man, who was in terrible circumstances. He was separated from God. He must have realized that you know, his situation was irreversible. He had his full senses. He had his full memory. He recognized who Abraham was. He certainly recognized Lazarus. And he's just reaching out. He's trying to do something that would change his eternal situation. Lazarus, here in the bosom of Abraham, seemed content to just kind of let these guys, you know, work it out. He was receiving his satisfaction at that point. But this place of hell, this was a place of separation. And the Bible tells us that the rich man was in torment there. I'm going to tell you today that there is absolutely nothing good that you could ever say about this place called hell. It wasn't something, I don't believe, that God had in mind to create. It was, the place itself was created when this third of the angels rebelled against God, right? And God couldn't leave them in heaven anymore. He had to do something with them, Brother Wayne. So this place was the place that was created for those. And when we reject God's truth, we follow this rich man into this place. 7 billion people upon the face of the earth today. I would ask you in this question in your heart, how many do you believe that they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and they apply biblical principles to their life? They've repented of their sins and they've laid up treasure in heaven. Their name is on the Lamb's Book of Life and they're going to go there one day. I wish that number, Brother Lilly, was a great, great, great big number. But the truth of the matter is we see that most of the world around us today, as in the days of Noah, have rejected the truths of God. We look at this place, hell, a place of separation. We see that Lazarus went on to this place called heaven, this place of paradise. He was in the presence of God. And it's amazing to me that as we read through this, that Abraham knew the circumstances of both their lives. We live in a world today where we think, okay, you know, nobody knows this, and I can do all this, and, you know, and nobody would ever know this. But I'm going to tell you today, friends, God knows your life. God knows your heart. God knows your interest. He knows your ambitions. You may not be able to get everything that you want done for God, but God knows what you would do if you were able to do those things. When Abraham spoke to these men, he talked about the conditions of their life. He didn't have to do any research. He didn't look it up on the internet. He was able to immediately say, hey, you laid down to the rich man, you laid down the life you wanted, and right now you're getting the recompense of that. God is not mocked. This man in verse 24, this rich man, I want you to think about the simplicity of this, and this has been something I've tried to look at for the last few weeks, but I want you to think about the simplicity of his request and the complexity of the answer. He cried and he said unto Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Well, I'm going to stop right there for a second. Mercy and grace are something that exist on earth. Amen? When you go to the other side of this life, when eternity becomes your reality, those choices are removed. You'll never find anybody that God apologized to in heaven. You'll never find anybody that I can find in the Scripture who went to this place of hell, this place of torment, that was recalled, that was able to escape that. And I think that's so important to realize, that the choices that we make here determine the future that we have there. This life is temporary. We were, Cindy has closely watched a young man. I'm sure he's a wonderful young man who passed away yesterday and 20 years old. None of us have the guarantee that we'll live forever, but we know what we can face and who we will face in the judgment in the world to come. There was no mercy that was available for this rich man, even though he cried out for it. It just wasn't possible. I want you to notice also, this man would have been very important upon earth. He was in authority, and he was a person that had control over things. And twice in this passage, we see him given instruction for Lazarus. Well, Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. You know, he's got his eternal reward. But yet this rich man says, I want you to make Lazarus do these things. Can you see what his attitude would have been like even on earth as he thought he had authority in heaven, which he did not have? But I want us to look at this simple request that he had. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I looked into this, and I guess it's never occurred to me, and that's okay. You know, I mean, I'm a learner, and I've still got a lot to learn. But Brother Don, I started thinking about the idea of water in heaven. Where would Lazarus go, Brother Gary, to get water in heaven? Where would it, you know, there's not the city of heaven water service, right? And yet, when we look at the Word of God, I want us to think about the interaction between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. If you'll hold your hand just at the book of Luke and flip over a chapter to the book of John, the fourth chapter. I think this is important for this morning. But John, the fourth chapter, we're going to look at a verse or two there. Again, a very familiar situation. The Bible tells us that Jesus had diverted himself from a travel that he did, and he did it intentionally so that he could go see a woman who was wicked, who was a sinner. And in her own words, you know, she acknowledged she was not in the relationship with God that he would have. And the Bible tells us that he was sitting at Jacob's well at a certain time of day when the woman came to him in the book of John, the fourth chapter. And we see that Jesus asks her for a drink. And the Samaritan woman responds, you know, in a surprise, you know, if you knew who I was, you probably wouldn't be asking me for this. But Jesus, in verse 10, said, talking about the drink of water, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee, what's that word, living water. You go down to the 14th verse, the 13th, 14th verse, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this well shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, Brother Don, maybe there's another source of water in heaven. I don't know. But I can tell you that Jesus is the living water. And while the rich man could not drink of the living water in that day, he'd already made his choice, he'd already passed on, that river flows from the throne of God today, that God has made himself available the forgiveness of sins, that we might drink of that living water here upon this earth, and that we might know that we have eternal life. Amen? God was so good that he sent Jesus, and that Jesus sought out sinners like me who needed salvation. And by the testimony of not just the Lazarus and others in the New Testament, but by my own testimony, I can tell you that Jesus desires that every man would come to him. Perhaps Peter said it very well when he said that God was long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Amen? He died upon the cross of Calvary, and his blood covers all sins that we might have forgiveness and we might have eternal life. So we see the rich man asking for a drink of water, and I don't believe it was possible, quite frankly. I don't know that he was asking for physical water. He recognized Abraham. Maybe he recognized the spiritual, the living water. I don't know, but he wasn't going to get what he wanted. He's still tormented in those flames. Abraham goes on, and he even calls out the fact that even if he wanted to help him, he could not. We think about this, and we begin to say, you know, is God so cruel that he would not provide a way that people could escape this place called hell? And the truth of the matter is, you'll hear that preached sometimes. It ought not to be that way, but, you know, well, why would God do all that? God gave his son. His name was Jesus. He died upon the cross for our sins, and if you reject those things, how could you expect to have some other option, as it were? These men who lived, the rich man and Lazarus, in the time they lived, and Jesus, when he gave this parable, they would have been under the Mosaic law. They would have understood the things that were needed, the things that were required, that you might have a right relationship with God. I wonder if the rich man trusted in his works. I wonder if he trusted in his wealth. If he trusted in his social status, that it would be good enough that it would impress God. But I'm going to tell you this morning that there's nothing impressive about us. Those that go to heaven, they go because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are hidden in the forgiveness, in the atonement of the Lord Jesus. And we begin to see that as Abraham worked with this man, as he interacted with him, he came back and he said, listen, it's not cruelty. I couldn't help you. Even if it were my desire to help you, I couldn't, because of the permanence, the physical gap. The rich man had become the beggar. The beggar had become the rich man. And they were distanced physically between these two places. The rich man recognized, I believe at that point, that there was no hope for himself. And in verse 27, he comes back and he makes his next request. He asked for mercy. He asked for a drink of water. He asked for Lazarus to run an errand for him. Verse 27, he's still asking. I pray thee therefore that thou wouldst send him, to send Lazarus to my father's house. Look at verse 28. For I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment. I believe at this point that the rich man had a true, sincere appreciation for the gospel message, for the work that God had wrought at that point through the Mosaic Law, and you know, coming was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality had set in. And it's amazing to me, Brother Ralph, to think about that he knew, this rich man knew, that Lazarus was familiar to his family, right? He didn't say, send somebody and maybe they'll recognize Lazarus. He knew that if Lazarus came back from the grave, his family might recognize that. We think about the power of the resurrected, the testimony of the power of the resurrected. In verse 30, the rich man pushes back. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I want you to think about the situation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to turn there, but you can look it up at your discretion. But in the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, it captures in verse 50 through 53 the circumstances at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ has come to the end of his time upon the cross. He's laying down his life that we might be saved through his blood atonement. And the Bible tells us there in those few verses, Matthew 27, the 27th chapter, the 50th verse, about those that came back, Brother Don, about the veil was rent, and about those that came back who had died in their belief of Christ. During his 3.5 years ministry, there were those who accepted him, and they went on to the grave. Amen? I wonder, Brother Don, about the power of their testimony. I wonder about, as they went through and people said, you know, how did you get here? What did you do? You know, what has happened? What great miracle has taken place? And these people would have said, let me tell you about Jesus. The one that just died upon the cross of Calvary is the Son of God. And through his blood, we might have forgiveness of sins. Can you imagine the power of that? I don't know what the end circumstance of that was. Maybe Jesus took them to heaven, you know, some days later when he ascended himself. I don't know. We can ask him one day. But I'm going to tell you that the testimony of those who have been resurrected would have been a powerful thing. The rich man saw that. He said, send Lazarus back. And by the way, he was a little selfish, right? He didn't say, send Lazarus back and let's organize a revival and let's just tell people they don't want to come here. He said, send them back to my five brothers and their family. Even there, Brother Ralph, he was still a little shallow in what he was looking at. He wanted what he wanted for himself first. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you that I have never been physically dead, but I can stand here before you today and tell you I know what it is to be spiritually dead. And I see those heads going up and down. And Jesus resurrected me when I was spiritually dead. He came and saved me and gave me new life and life eternal. And he gave me a drink of that living water that we talked about. He also gave to the Samaritan woman and to all of you who have been saved this morning. Amen. You know that your life has passed from death unto eternal life. So let's look at what took these men to this place called hell, this place called paradise. At the point where they lived, they would have still been under the Mosaic Law. And I want you to consider the Passover. I want you to consider the atonement for sin that was made annually for these men and for all the people in that time. There was the aspect of the religion of that day, the offering of sacrifices the blood atonement from the blood of animals, as it were, that Jesus was going to come and replace and be the sacrifice for all of us once. Just imagine if there was a man in this day, perhaps it was the rich man in this day, who would have looked at that ordinance and looked at that ceremony, looked at that sacrificial process and said, hey, that's a great system. I believe in that. Brother Gary, just imagine if there was someone who was in Egypt at the time when Moses came and he was going to lead the children of Israel out and was going to have the Exodus and to free them. And the verdict came and God said, I'm going to destroy these people who aren't under the blood. And Brother Gary, the edict was given, this is what you're going to do. You're going to find an animal, and according to this, you're going to prepare this animal, and you're going to take the blood, and you're going to put it on the doorposts, right, on the lintel. Just imagine, under this day, that someone has said, that is a great process. And Brother Wayne, you should do that. And Brother Lily, you should do that. And Brother Gary, you should do that. And Brother David, you should do that. And I believe it's a great thing. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to reject what it is that God has done for me, right? How would that have worked out for them? Well, Brother Gary, they would have been involved in the death, in the slaughter that came, that fell upon the Egyptians. Why, Brother Ralph? Because they had denied the sacrifice that God had called for. They had gotten out of that. Well, folks, I tell you what, we live in a world today where we need to recognize that God has provided a perfect lamb for us. His name is Jesus. And he came to apply the blood not only to the doorpost and to the lintel, but to our hearts and our lives, that we, through his sacrifice, might have perfect forgiveness of our sins. No, we're not worthy. The rich man wasn't worthy. He rejected what God had provided for him, and he went to this place called hell. By the way, Lazarus wasn't worthy. He was a beggar, and he was in a terrible circumstance. He wasn't worthy either, but he went to this place because of faith. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we call it, you know, our Hall of Fame. And it talks about these in the Old Testament who were under the same circumstances that Lazarus and the rich man were. And in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it tells us about how these men might have been saved in their day. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, very familiar scripture, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then I want us to look at Enoch. And look at verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, look at this and apply this to your life, whether it's the rich man who rejected faith or Lazarus who accepted it. I want you to apply it to your life. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. Look at this. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why did the rich man go to this place called hell? Because he didn't believe God, wouldn't take him at his word. He had rejected in his faith to accept what God had done for him. Whereas Lazarus, on the other hand, had accepted that, embraced that. That was his eternal condition, was the outcome of his faith. The Bible tells us all through the Word of God, that we are to come to Christ, to come to God as a people of faith, to believe that what he said he would do, he did for us, and that he is a forgiver of sins even when we don't deserve it. It's the personal application of repentance and faith and calling upon God that would take us to this place called heaven. I think that's one of the greatest things we see in the world around us today, is that if we're not careful, we begin to make so many, well, you got to do this, and you got to be this kind of person, and you know, you ought to have this background, what have you. We need to lay all of that at the foot of the cross. We can add nothing to our salvation, and we cannot detract for it. When Jesus said, it is finished, he had satisfied all that the Father had commanded that we might have forgiveness of our sins. I'm going to ask you if you'll bow with me in prayer this morning. And Brother Ralph, if you might come and get a song, and Miss Laura, somebody come and sing for us, I would appreciate that. Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to be here in your house again this morning. Lord, I have received the thought for this message several weeks ago. And God, I have delivered it according to the way that you've placed it in my heart. Actually, very few notes, Lord. But I know that this message was intended for someone that was here this morning, Lord. Maybe multiple people here this morning. Lord, that they just really don't know. Or maybe they do know. And they want one more chance, Lord, one more opportunity to come and to lay their life before you, to take on the forgiveness that Christ has provided for them, and wear that like a robe, Lord, to wear that like clothing, like a suit of armor. God, I pray that you'll just be with everything that's said and done here this morning. Lord, move in each heart. Take each one of us back to a place, Lord, where like Lazarus, we looked at the Word of God and said, I believe, and I need this in my own life. This is my forgiveness. This is what God has provided for me. And God, I just ask you to move this morning. Lord, if there's one here this morning that just struggles with that, like Brother Ralph had said, like I said, let them hear the calling of God. Lord, if there's one here today that just struggles with their faith, help them to understand if it's real, Lord, or what that faith is based upon. Lord, we love you this morning. And I ask you, Lord, to just be with us as we have the invitation. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen.